Good morning, everyone. Let's pray as we stand. Father God, we thank you for your word to us, and we pray for the help of your Holy Spirit, that we would understand more of what it means and what it is saying to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do take a seat. So if we could have the first slide up, that would be great. Thank you. Thank you. So I wonder if any of you have started a new hobby or a new project during COVID. Maybe you learnt a language. I know that some people have. Maybe that you've dusted off a long-forgotten instrument and learnt how to play it again. Maybe you kind of set out and decided that you were going to read a certain series of books or watch certain episodes or a long-running series on TV. I think the only thing that we can really say that we took up, it started during the first lockdown, was exploring the many takeouts in the local area. Takeout Friday quickly became a thing during the first lockdown, and I have to say that that has kind of continued. If we could have our next slide, please. Now, this is Jacob. You may have come across Jacob on the news or on YouTube, and Jacob has done something quite amazing during lockdown. If we could have the next slide. He has transformed his 18th floor balcony in central Manchester into this wonderful, what he calls his cloud garden. If you get a chance, there's a little video somewhere on the BBC website, and it is quite extraordinary what he's managed to do. And if we could have that next slide. He's got a water feature there and all sorts of plants, flowers, tomatoes, other vegetables. And apparently it all began when he went out and bought one plant at his local shop at the start of lockdown. And it's kind of grown into all of this. And he speaks movingly of how creating this garden really has helped his mental health and his anxiety during the whole kind of COVID and lockdown experience. We could return to the slide. Thank you very much. So Jason's garden, when I saw that little video, when I stumbled across it, it just really spoke to me of God. It spoke to me of the one who Jesus talks about in this passage from John as the gardener. In that very first verse, Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." And that amazing garden that Jacob created just really speaks to me of that creator God, the God who sows and plants and nurtures, who creates, who delights to bring life and fruitfulness and abundance and beauty, even in the most unlikely and seemingly dead places. You don't get more unlikely than the 18th floor balcony in central Manchester. The God who, even in the face of the destructive power of COVID, has been working to bring life and hope through the heroic work of those on our front, what we've been calling our front line, whether that be medics or care home staff or our shopkeepers or our bus drivers, our emergency services, the God who's been working through volunteers who have kept things like our own food bank open and the neighbourhood cafe for the homeless in Princess Road, which has kept on serving throughout COVID. God has been working in all those ways, despite the challenges and the deadness of the last 18 months, to bring life and hope. God has been at work in the many hidden ways that individuals have gone the extra mile to look after family and friends and neighbours. And God's been at work, I think, in opening our eyes to the beauty which is on our doorstep. Opening our eyes to the beauty and the wonder which is actually all around us if we have eyes to see, even in the middle of the urban sprawl which is Teesside. As any gardener knows, whether you only have one pot or one very small plot, or whether you have a whole allotment, gardening requires constant vigilance and care and bags of patience. You only need to go away for a few days, don't you, and to return to a wilting pot plant to realise how much care a garden needs, watering and feeding and controlling pests, slugs and greenfly and pruning and weeding and deadheading, all those jobs. Gardening is a time-consuming job. So with all that in mind, let's turn now and let's look at more detail at that passage from John's Gospel. It'd be great if you can grab a Bible. They should be on the seats or in the underneath the seats in front of you. And we're in John 15, and we're looking at the first 12 verses, and you'll find that on page 1022. Now, this passage, it's all about life. It's all about rich, fruitful, abundant, eternal life, the kind which can only be found in Jesus. I am the vine, he says in verse 5, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And that word remain, it appears in many translations as abide. It was abide in the song that we've just sung. It's a lovely word which means to remain in a stable or a fixed state. It speaks of constancy, of continuing, of dwelling, of finding our home in God. Jesus talks a lot about vines and about vineyards. It was a common motif in ancient religions, and in the Old Testament, vines and vineyards, they're used as a symbol for Israel. So, for example, Psalm 80 talks about Israel as the vine that God rescued from slavery in Egypt and grew into a vibrant nation. But interestingly, when the Old Testament talks about Israel as the vine, it's usually in reference to how her faithlessness has led to her downfall. And so Psalm 80 turns into a prayer for deliverance from the foreign powers who have broken down the walls of God's vineyard and ransacked all the grapes. It's because of Israel's failure to be a light that points to God that Jesus declares that he is, in that first verse, that he is the true vine. He is now the source of life for all. Jesus is the vine, and we, his followers, are the branches. You have to think of kind of traily, floaty stems rather than the kind of hard wood of a tree. That's what vines have. More like, they're more like the ones that you kind of get, you know, if you've got sweet peas or runner beans. And it's these trailing, floaty stems or branches that draw their life from the central vine, the main trunk of the plant. And it's this central vine, this stem, this trunk which produces the fruit, The branches bear the fruit, yes, but their life source is the trunk or the source at the center. And if there is no visible fruit, then we have to ask whether the branch is really rooted into the stem. Jesus stretches the imagery of the vine a little when he gives the branches the responsibility of remaining. In a garden, the branches don't really have that responsibility, do they? So Jesus pushes the image of remaining in him. Remain in me as I in you. The point he is making is very clear. Continuous dependence on the vine, constant reliance on Jesus, remaining, abiding, dwelling in him. This is essential for life and for fruitfulness. There is some debate over exactly what the fruit is that Jesus is speaking of here. Is it the fruit we read of later in one of Paul's letters? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Is that the fruit that Jesus is talking about? Is it the fruit of loving service? Is it the fruit of a growing church? Is it using our God-given gifts and talents for the common good? Is it working for a society which reflects God's heart of justice and compassion? I'm sure it's all of those things. But in the context of this passage, fruitfulness seems to be linked by Jesus to prayer. So you'll see in verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And Jesus holds out here the most extraordinary, I think, vision. That if we are strongly and firmly rooted in him, if we remain in him and his words remain in us, if we are faithful and obedient to his word, if we attain a oneness of spirit and purpose through our union in him, then whatever we ask will be done. Because whatever we ask, whatever we desire, will be so in tune with his will, so energized and driven by his priorities, by his love, by his perfect way, that it will be indistinguishable for our own. As I say, that is an amazing vision. And I, for one, am a long way off that. But what an attractive vision to be that in tune, that rooted, that oneness with Jesus, the true vine. So the question this morning is, how fruitful are we? How fruitful are you? How fruitful am I? Now, this is really a tough question, I think, because it's actually easier for other people to answer it of us, because we might feel a bit like a dried up branch. We might not see any fruit in our own lives, and others are better at seeing the fruit which is growing. So I think a better question to ask this morning might be, and I'm going to change the metaphor slightly, how good is our connection? How good and deep is our connection with Jesus? Given that fruitfulness is dependent on our being rooted in him, how strong or secure is your or my connection with the vine this morning? Ironically, as I was preparing this sermon, my laptop told me I had an unstable Wi-Fi connection. And perhaps that's an apt way of describing how our connectedness might have felt or been over the last 18 months or so. Certainly, COVID has wielded really sharp pruning shears. And for some, that pruning has deepened faith, it has deepened prayer, it has deepened service and worship. But for many, I'm guessing that our relationship with Jesus, the living out of our faith, our worship, our relationship with the church family, with our communities. I'm guessing that all these things have really taken a battering. Our connection has maybe felt quite unstable. COVID has been a major disconnect. At least speaking from my own experience, it has been. We've called today Reconnect Sunday. Not because we expected everybody to be back in church today, but because it feels important that as our schools and our universities begin again, as more and more people return into their workplaces and reconnect with many of their usual activities, it felt important that we take time to take stock of our connections, our connectedness with one another, with our church, with our communities, and most importantly of all, with Jesus. And we know, don't we, that there are good reasons why some are still not able to reconnect with in-person worship and activities. But in time, we do want to encourage everyone who physically can to reconnect in person. Online worship and Zoom calls, they've been vital for many of us, and we'll continue to stream worship. But they do not come close to the essential in-person connectedness, which is fundamental to Christian faith. As John 15 makes clear, being well connected, deeply rooted, is essential for our fruitfulness, both as individuals and together. Jesus speaks of branches, not a branch, plural. And we're all joined together by that central stem. That second reading from Acts provides a really useful checklist, I think, of the things which are key to ensuring that we have a strong connection with Jesus and one another. It describes the life of the earliest followers of Jesus, those who were intimately connected with the vine. So you'll see up on the slide, I've kind of highlighted the kind of important bits. This is such a great checklist. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now we'd understand that as the Bible, as God's word, because that contains for us most of the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship, that is our shared life together as the church family here. Devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, and later in verse a bit further down to praising God, that's worship and communion. And to prayer, we've talked a bit about how Jesus links fruitfulness to prayer. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property, possessions to give to those who had need. That's about the quality of our common life and the way that we care for the most needy amongst us. These are all key ways in which we can kind of check how our connectedness is, how our connections are with Jesus. How we can keep connected, in fact, with Jesus and others. Make sure that we have a strong connection with Jesus and others. As I've already said, COVID it's been a major disconnect, hasn't it? And the constant change of what we can and what we can't do and the effect that's had on our routines and habits has been marked, I think. In terms of the way we live out our faith, there may have been good habits and practices which have slipped, maybe almost without noticing, and which we might think we've not really missed. If I'm honest, I haven't really missed swimming. And I haven't made much of an effort to get back into it. But I do know that I'm less healthy because of it, and I do know that it will find me out. Living through COVID has definitely sapped my energy. It's made me more inward looking and cautious. It's reduced my bother factor. And it's made it harder to get up and get going. I don't mean getting out of bed though on some days, but just getting up and out there. It's just been harder. COVID has sapped a lot of our energy and strength, our ability to engage with life. And perhaps there are spiritual habits and practices which COVID has disrupted for you. Things maybe that you don't think you've really missed, but like my swimming, it's left you less spiritually healthy because of it. If that speaks to you, then I'd really encourage you to make the coming weeks a season of reconnecting, of renewing or discovering life-giving habits again, which strengthen your connection with the vine. I want to finish with an encouragement and something to ponder. So firstly, an encouragement. Perhaps you're feeling totally disconnected this morning from God, from church, from faith, from others even, from the life that you had before COVID. Maybe you identify with the branches that are on the ground, which are thrown away and are going to be burnt, and you fear that there's no way back. But be encouraged, because there always is. Jesus, he's not talking here about those whose faith has gone a bit cold or those who have lost their way or got a bit disconnected. He's talking about those whose ultimate and final decision in life is to live without him. Like the prodigal son, it's never too late to turn back, to turn around, to reconnect. Romans 11 talks about God's power to graft branches back into the plant. We've got a slide. It's not one of our apple trees, but apparently that's an apple tree with new branches grafted in, which you can see are springing into life. And God has the power to graft us back into himself. So there's always a way back. There's always a way to reconnect. And like the father in the parable, God is always scanning the horizon, looking for the lost child making their way back home. And when he sees them, just like the father in the story, he gathers up his robes and he runs out to greet us and to embrace us. So that's the encouragement. And secondly, and finally, something to ponder. Imagine your life is a garden. What needs feeding or watering? What's got a bit unruly and needs a good prune so that new life can grow? What needs a bit of support or training up a trellis? Where are the tender plants that need protecting, a bit of TLC, a little bit of encouragement? Where are you being choked by weeds or threatened by disease or garden pests? And are there things that need moving, even need rooting out, getting rid of? At the very end of John's Gospel, Jesus' friend Mary mistakes him for the gardener. I think that is a really ironic mistake, because the risen Jesus is the most green-fingered gardener of all. In the gaping mouth of the grave, Jesus sowed the green shoots of eternal life. And by remaining in him, allowing him to be the gardener of our lives, we can be assured he will grow rich and everlasting fruit in us too.